Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk, an Infra podcast. I am Chris Sorensen, your host for today's episode. July is all about celebrating independence, retailers, brands, and partners who bring heart, hustle, and purpose to the natural industry. Joining us today is Aaron Anker, owner and chief granola officer at Grandy Organics. Based in Hiram, Maine, Grandy is a company that lives its values. From solar-powered production to certified organic ingredients to unwavering support of independent retailers, being an independent company themselves, Aaron's leadership style is personal, values-driven, and full of energy. And if you've met him or seen him in your store, you know exactly what I mean. Well, Aaron, we featured you and Grandy Organics on the show last year during our indie theme, so it's so nice to finally get a chance to have a conversation with you on the show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much, Chris. I'm so happy to be here with you, and I've always enjoyed your company, so this will be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I think we can dig right into it. I just have to say, obviously, I tell you every time, I'm a big fan of Grandy Organics. You know, I love the Coconola line. I have ever since it launched in the stores. And when you came out with the peanut butter and you told me about that and sent me a sample, I've just been obsessed with it. I think I have like 4 bags in my cabinet right now. So big fan of your guys' product. Always loved the brand. And I just have to do another shout out to Rich, because Rich has been with the company a long time. You know, I met him on the sales floor in the bulk aisle, and he's just been a fantastic person to have represent Grandy for sure.
You can't really talk about Grandy without talking about Rich. And a lot of people know him as Razor. It's a nickname of his for years. Rich and I met on our 21st summer. So actually, he was 22. I was 21. He was a lot older than me. But we've been friends since. And he just celebrated his 23rd year working with me.
So wow.
Not many people can say that, right? And I've been owner of Grandy for 25. So, you know, we're partners. You know, he's amazing.
Yeah, he is. Well, I think that's a good way to kind of dive into, take us back to the beginning of Grandy Oats, Grandy, you know, before it was Grandy Organics. And how did you get started with the company? And what has it been like now? Because you've stepped into sole ownership more recently. So kind of give us a little bit of history lesson of Grandy.
Yeah. So, you know, Grandy Oats, Grandy Organics has always been independent. It started in 1979. Two women started the business, Sarah and Penny. And they ran it to really like a small business, small independent business, $115,000 business. You know, numbers don't always matter, but I think it's a good just framing of the business. Mostly bulk, actually all bulk, and, you know, sold mostly to independent natural food stores, a few co-ops, a few bread and circuses in the DC and Boston area. Then my business partner, Nat Purse, bought it in 97. Ran it pretty similarly to the way they did it, but did it alone. And Nat was just always really good about being efficient with his time, both from a production standpoint and managing customers, but really couldn't scale it alone. And so he brought me in 2000 as a 50-50 partner. We used to joke, and our wife's joke, that he was my second wife and I was his second wife. We really had a great partnership of 22 years, brought on great people like Rich, who already mentioned, so many other awesome people in the industry. A lot of people remember Zoe. Zoe works for Atlantic Sea Farm now. So many, I mean, there's too many people for me to list, but we've just had some great. Reed McNamara, that's with Maine Crisp now, was one of our original people. I'm just giving shout out to some people here that probably are known in the infra world. But we've had some awesome people on the team. And then in 22, Nat, you know, had been doing it for an extra 3 years past me. He was tired. He was ready to do something different in life. And as some have said, I had the cojones to go for it and do this on my own. I will tell you, I miss him. It was a great partnership. Just like I miss, you know, some of those awesome people I already mentioned. But it's been really cool to own the business on my own and really see my vision fully and to build an incredible leadership team and really take the business to that next level. And so, you know, one thing that I just want to emphasize on this podcast, which you're not going to see often in the branded world, and I don't say this with any sort of disdain at all, but it's just fact. There's not many brands out there that are independently owned. Most of the brands now in natural foods, and again, this is, it's just what is fact, are owned either by private equity, venture capital, or large, you know, food conglomerates, right? And so I get it. Like, I get what it means to make a mortgage or make a rent. I get what it means when people call out. I get what it means when you have an HR issue. And I say I, you know, but I have a team, but like, ultimately the buck stops at the owner and that independent owner of that retail store, or in my case, as a manufacturer. Different businesses, I don't equate, you know, the struggles that a store makes or has with, you know, things that we might have in manufacturing, right? But, you know, it is similar. At the end of the day, you're still dealing with accounting and taxes and, you know, and the nuts and bolts of, you know, your HVAC system breaks or what have you, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So I don't know if that kind of answers, you know, there's a lot of iterations, but I feel like we'll probably get through some of this and some of the other questions. But, you know, at this point, you know, I should also mention that, you know, when I bought Nat out in 2022, I also made the decision, and I'd been thinking, Nat and I had been thinking about doing it for a few years, but we moved from Grandy Oats to Grandy Organics. And we had in 2000, when Nat and I became partners, I said to him, I did like my first sales trip. And I remember going into a store in New Jersey and I had this awesome buyer. I still remember his face and name. He's awesome. And he was like, hey, you know, he's like, are you organic? And I was like, no. And I called Nat up. I was like, we got to go organic, dude. Like, that would be our point of difference. Let's do this. And I believe in organics and you do. And we're doing this already at home. Like, what are we doing? And Nat was like really cool about it. He was like, hey, it's going to take years because that was 2000. So Clinton had just come out with organic standard. You couldn't even really get everything. So incrementally over 4 years, we went organic. So in 2004, I was like, we got to have organic in our name. And then we came out with a Coca-Cola line, which you mentioned, Chris, and they're not even oats in it, right? And I was like, oh, I don't really want to confuse the consumer, but everybody knows it's a Grandy Oats. It's like a, you know, it's 40-year plus old brand. But I was like, oh, I got to get organics in the name. So I decided that, you know, at that moment when I bought Nat out, I was like, I'm changing to Grandy Organics. And what I say to people is, I am totally cool with you calling us Grandy Oats. And I would say many people still do. I don't know if it's most or whatever, but I just, we have the trademark on both. Like, we're cool with it. We're not really pushing Grandy Oats as much out there from a branding standpoint, but it's totally fine. But we really want organics. And we planted a flag in the ground and said, we are organic. And like, that's who we are. And I feel, you know, very firm in that.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I do miss the word pun. Or like the word play, the pun on grandiose, but I think it makes sense from like what it what makes sense to the consumer standpoint. So I totally get that. And yeah, especially with the Coca-Cola line not having oats, that can be also confusing. So I like how you guys thought of it through the lens of like, how does the consumer interact with the company and with the brand? So it makes total sense to me.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, Chris, is you have to remember that you're always introducing new customers. And as we expand the brand, we just knew others out there and you get that, you know, whatever it is, they say a second or two with that consumer. We also have to remember we sell a ton in bulk, especially to the co-op and the independent stores. And we do a lot in nuts. You know, I think everybody knows about our flavor roasted nuts. And then we also have, you know, our cashews mostly. And then we also do trail mixes too. And those are, you know, those are, I mean, our antioxidant trail mix is the number one selling trail mix in United Natural Foods in bulk. So it's like, you know, that doesn't have oats in it, right? So it is awesome.
Yeah. Well, one thing, like before we hit record, we were talking just a little bit about just being an independent business and kind of what that means and some of the things that you have to deal with as an independent business that maybe some of these other businesses don't deal with. But I wonder, what does it mean to you to be an independent business in today's natural foods landscape? You alluded to it a little bit, but how does that shape the way that Grandy shows up in the marketplace for independent retailers, people like Infirm members?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I just have to say as a small business owner, you know, as an independent business owner, I need to just say it's tough right now. Like, and I think, you know, for retailers, I know it's tough. So I just want to be empathetic. And, you know, everybody sees you on, you know, social media or at a trade show or whatever, and everything's all smiles and wonderful, but it's tough, you know, like, I mean, I think if anything, since COVID has just gotten harder and now we're going to be all dealing with these tariffs and raising costs all across the board, you know, and so it's hard. And our industry is consolidating, let's be honest, right? There, like I already mentioned it, there's a lot of big competitors out there. So I wanted first off that it's not easy. And I think the biggest thing you can do is just be your authentic self. Right. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this on the lead up, but, you know, we make our products. A lot of these, you know, competitors we can compete with are made in, you know, co-manufacturers or large manufacturer. So I think we just have to keep telling that story. We did hire a social media manager, Helen Rowland, this year, and she's already doing a great job. And one of the reasons we hired her was because I'm like, I want you to tell the story of us actually manufacturing the product. And we have some of the funniest people at our facility. They just crack me up. And every day they're, you know, producing, I mean, we produce up to 18,000 pounds a day of some of our granolas, right? So that sounds enormous, right? But we still do it in really small batches, like, and we spread it out on a tray and we put it in the oven the same way we used to do it. Our ovens have gotten bigger. Our packaging machines got bigger. We used to scoop every bag, you know, into, you know, by hand. So we've gotten more efficient and we've tried to cut out some of the laborious stuff. Like we've got these bowls that now lift up like with like a scissor lift so people don't break their backs. Like, so we've tried to just like add like these things so that we can, you know, because some of my team and our production manager, Andrew Zalaga, has been with us, I think over 10 years now. Jamie Pelosi, who created the Coca-Cola recipes, is 18 years. You know, so like, I mean, I walk into some of these infra stores, you know, and I'll just make a correlation again. I see the same buyers that I was calling on 25 years ago. They may be now be in a management role or they may, you know, move departments, but it's not that similar. Like I call us the Grandy family. And every time I walk into one of these independent stores, I feel like I'm walking into a family business, you know, and it's really cool. So, yeah, I think we're, you know, it's not easy out there at the same effect. I think you just have to be your authentic self. Like, you know, you're not going to walk into, you know, an independent natural food store. I'm going to pick on Morning Glory in Brunswick, Maine. You walk in there, you know, this is a small business that Susan and her husband ran and Toby, her son now runs. You just feel it. It's not sterile. Like, you know, and I like that. And I think their consumers like that, right? They don't want it to look like a big box store. Let me just call it that. Right. And I think that's what you're going to get with Grandy, you know, is just that authenticity. You're going to get the Rich. You're going to get the Aaron, you know?
Yeah. And especially in that store, they get you showing up. And I think that's what your social media person has done so well, I think, since you brought them on, is actually highlight how often you're out in stores, you and your team, but you specifically, like a founder going out, meeting with some of the buyers, shopping in the stores, taking pictures with your product in the stores and talking to people in the aisle. You don't see that very often. And I think that's something pretty unique about you and your team and how you guys connect with the independent retailer and our shoppers as well. That's super cool.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I think that's a great compliment. And, you know, and it's not just Rich and I, it's the whole team really does that. And we're going to be doing more and more of that. In fact, I just met with my food service sales manager, who's a great guy. We do a lot in food service, as you mentioned too. And, you know, Helen's going to get on the road with Andrew and it's going to be great. And I can't wait for them to understand what he does when he goes out and services these college universities. We're doing a lot like smoothie bowl shops, you know, and we, you know, a lot of the infra stores now have little cafes, right? And they do a smoothie bowl and they can put our granola on top. And so, yeah, we're doing a lot of that stuff. It's fun.
Cool. That's a lot of fun. So I think it's worth also highlighting, you know, it's great that you guys are independent. And I think we love that from our side of how we do business, but we also love how sustainable you are. And that work is really woven into every part of your business. From which I remember seeing the sticker on the bulk bin saying that you guys were solar powered. And we used to highlight that on our bulk bins in the store, to now, like you said, using all certified organic ingredients. Why is that commitment so central to your mission? And how do you keep pushing that forward? Or like, what's next for what you guys plan on doing?
You know, I call myself an incrementalist, and I don't even know if it's a word, but everybody knows what I mean when I say it. I think as a small business, and really just generally in business, when you ever see a business make a mistake, it's usually because they went too fast. And so, you know, you just have to incrementally continue to improve. So I'm answering your last question sort of first, and what's next, you know, and we'll have some news. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag yet, but we're going to continue to just up our standards. You know, why did solar matter? Why did organic matter? I mean, because it matters to me, because it matters to my family, because it mattered to Matt, because it matters to our staff. You know, like our quality assurance manager, who I haven't met yet, I mentioned yet, but I should. Stephanie Wolf came to us from Poland Springs. Poland Springs is right down the road from us, right? And she, in the interview, was like, I don't want to put more plastic bottles into the environment. Like that mattered to her, right? She's one of the people that's always asking me, what's next in sustainability, you know? And so That's why you do it. I mean, frankly, and this sound kind of pompous, but I'm a good sales guy. I could sell anything. I could go sell insurance. I don't want to sell insurance. Nothing against my insurance salesman or saleswoman. They're really good. But I want to sell something where we can like actually make a difference with it. Always wanted to do that. And so, you know, yeah, our small little granola, you know, nut and trail mix company can make a difference. So I'm passionate about organic. I come more on the side, and I know consumers come more at it from like what's healthy for me. I don't want stuff on, you know, I don't want GMOs. I don't want pesticides. I don't want chemicals in my food. It's not that I don't care about that. I do care about that. But I also don't want it in my environment. I look at the streams and I see you see the Mississippi Delta, you think about what's happening, the flow down. And then of course you've seen what's happened with PFAS, and Maine has had so many farmers that have been just been like, I can't even, devastated, you know, putting out organic products that had PFAS. I mean, it's just brutal, you know? So I really look at it from that standpoint. You know, what we've tried to do since we went organic in 2004, Nat and I were always trying to think what was next. So when we were able to buy our building now in Hiram, you know, we had a chance to retrofit the entire building. You know, we bought it for $175,000 on 8 acres on the Saco River. And, you know, one of my friends owns a solar company, and I had him come up, and, you know, Nat had the idea. He was like, we could put solar in those fields, right? So that's why I had him come up. And Phil said to me, he's like, hey, you could put solar right there, you know, and then you could just change all your, you know, heating, cooling, everything, you know, like, what if we did that? And so we did it, you know, and that was 10 years ago before it was easy to finance solar. And so that was the next thing. And then, you know, over the last 5-ish years, it's been fair trade. So we've really leaned into fair trade where we can. Not everything's available fair trade. And sometimes, you know, you can't do it, but you try, you know? So we do that. So I think at coconut oils are anywhere between 20 to 25% fair trade. That's coconut, that's cashews, chocolate, you know, and things like that. Sugar too. We've got some of our new sugar, our brown sugar granolas, sweeter granolas are also fair trade. And, you know, we're always just trying to, I mean, other standards, though, gluten-free, right? So we did just up our gluten-free standard. We're now going to be below 5 parts per million. So we're pretty excited about that. We'll be announcing that pretty soon. You'll start seeing that on our labels. We'll be dual labeled for a little while, but really excited about that. We're just always, you know, so it's not always sustainability, is also like quality, right? And Stephanie, I already mentioned, has done a really good job of that. And, you know, we do invite independents. So like if you're in the area or you're visiting, you know, your fun uncle in Maine or New Hampshire, you know, you could come visit us, is my point. We got a really top-notch facility, is what I'm trying to say, you know.
Awesome. I would love to visit sometime.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that as an invitation as well.
100% invitation, Chris. Yes, please come.
Cool. Well, one thing I want to highlight, you mentioned this a little bit earlier because you said you're 100% independent, you're 100% organic. You guys are also on Cornucopia Institute's list of independent organic brands. They have a whole list that they put out that's vetted by them and their team, and also by independent retailers help support and vet that list for them. But they also have scorecards that we've talked about, and you guys have a top score on the Cornucopia Institute's organic cereal scorecard, which I think also speaks to your integrity, to your quality, the things that you constantly do. I'm just curious from your end, you get a lot of recognition. You've also, I think you got some certification or like some awards in Maine for ownership. You can talk about that. But what did these types of recognitions mean to you, both through the Cornucopia Institute and the things in your community? And why should that matter to the retailers and the shoppers that are buying your product?
You know, a couple things. One, I'll go to Cornucopia in a little bit because that's a really long story and I want to tell it because it really gives a lot of accolades to an independent store. But let me first off talk about other business awards and product awards. They mean a lot, you know? I mean, to point earlier, like it's not easy for the independents out there, right? So like when you get an award, Nat and I won the SBA Business Award, Small Business of the Year for the state of Maine. There's only 50 states. There's one in each state. We won it in 2020, which kind of sucks. It was COVID, so didn't get a lot of news. We didn't get to go down to DC. So it was all kind of a bummer, but it was incredible. And, you know, I talk a lot about sustainability. We all do as businesses in really environmental or community. But if you don't stay in business, you know, if you're not a good business person, then that's not very sustainable. So I think you really got to do that. And that, you know, that goes into like paying your people a living wage. That makes, you know, you got to make sure you got resiliency built into your plan and just like making sure you're insured for the, you know, the things that happen. So, you know, winning that award was amazing. I have to say, like, that felt really good. That was 20 years of business. Winning the product awards are incredible. Like, the one that we won in Maine was, that's a total blind case test. And the funny thing is, we won for Coca-Cola 2 years ago, and they're only doing it every 2 years. It's called the Golden Fork Award. And we put the peanut butter one in. And when we won, I said, there's no way we're going to win because we've already won before and it's only a second year. And it won again. And it was funny. Everybody was cheering and I didn't even hear it. And Rich and I went up to the stage and they were like, and it was funny. Like they were like, oh yeah, peanut butter won. And I was like, well, of course it did. I mean, it was like, because that product is so delicious, to your point earlier, you know? So I, you know, those awards mean a lot. I will tell you, okay, so let's talk Cornucopia. So 15 years ago, the whole cereal report came out and they had just done one on dairy too. Their first one was on dairy and it was really just talking about how bad non-organic dairy was and what it was doing to the environment and what it was doing to cows and milk and everything. It was like big news. I don't know if folks remember this or not. And then they did the cereal. They called it the cereal crimes. And they were talking about all these like really bad cereals that were like, you know, but really, frankly, the buyers on the show know, they're like, you know, sugar cereals are just cratering in sales, right? And so they were also talking about how like non-organic, you know, cereals and granola were often more expensive than the organic one. And so I had this awesome broker, top line, many people probably know Karen Farrell. She's at Presence. She's an industry veteran. She's a good friend of mine. And she said, you know, this report that Cornucopia did is awesome, but it's like really long, Aaron. And Cornucopia is like going to do an in-depth thing. It was digital. She's like, we got to print this thing out. So we printed out these like, you know, old school binders, you know, with like the coils and the whole deal. We did like, I don't know, 100, 200 of them, cost us a bunch of money. And she's like, I'm going to have my reps put these out in the field. And so she did. And the crazy thing that happened was John, who owns Green Grocer down in Rhode Island, read it, like literally read the whole report and said, well, wait a second, I'm not going to put Kashi in my store. And he put a yellow tag up, and this is early days of Facebook. And it said, where's my Kashi? And it basically said, I'm not going to have GMO in my store, so I'm going to have organic products. Didn't say anything about Grandy, didn't say anything about any of the other organic cereals out there. There's obviously other good ones other than Grandy. But our bag was right behind that label. And I said, hey, that's really cool, John, because we were really good friends and I had seen him at an Associated Buyer show. And he told me about it. I said, hey, do me a favor. Social media is kind of starting. Like, will you like send me a picture and we'll put it up on Facebook, right? So he sends it to me. And like that afternoon, I throw it up on Facebook. And then one of Karen's coworkers is a midwife in Vermont. I can't remember her name, but she's awesome. She shares it. And this thing went freaking viral. Like, it's the first like one of the viral things that happened on Facebook within the natural products industry. And Kashi's phone line shut down. Because Cornucopia did that report and John put, and really the hero in this story, and USA Today called me, and like, the story was not about me. It was about John. I mean, John's the one who took a stance and was like, I'm going to take one of the top selling items in my store. And by the way, it wasn't fair that Kashi got pointed out because there was all these other, like, I mean, they're owned by Kellogg's, whatever, but there's all these other brands. But the point of the story, it was nuts, man. It was crazy how much of this. So it means a lot. I think those guys have a ton of integrity. I never get a chance to tell that story. It's an old one. I've been doing this 25 years. That's 15 years ago. But I think it would have meant a lot. That was crazy. I mean, I don't know that it did a ton for us as a brand other than John put us on a shelf and other stores were doing and Karen did this great thing. But Cornucopia, they're I mean, talk about integrity. Those guys, they research their stuff, right?
Yeah. No, and we talk about them being that watchdog for us that, for those of us that can't get to every farm, that can't get to every manufacturing facility to help provide some layer of transparency behind either a certification or a label claim, right? And that's, you know, I've said this on the podcast many a times. When I worked at Lakeland's Food Co-op, I printed out those scorecards and I put them out by the eggs and by the milk and by the cereal and things so that people knew that, you know, we were carrying Grandy for these reasons. Like, look at, they're top notch. You know, this is why I carried Larry Schultz eggs. And at that time, it was like Cedar Farm milk. It's like, these are the reasons. And we're actually having them on the podcast for this month too, talking about independence. And they're going to dive in and talk about their list of organic independents that it includes you guys. So yeah, they're a great organization too, to help both consumers and retailers, you know, have that extra layer of transparency.
Yeah. I think, look, you know, the more and more as we're bombarded, you know, we'd already talked about social media. I mean, social media is a double-edged sword, you know, like you know, I just told you a story, by the way, after that Facebook, you know, shut down like a lot of the, you know, what people can say about other, you know, brands or, you know, used to be like open. Right. And so like, I mean, poor Kashi just got like, I mean, I shouldn't say, but I felt bad. I was like, oh my God, their phone lines, their Facebook people, like, this is like unbelievable, but John changed. To this day, I think John is one of the like most amazing guys who changed, like, because Kashi then made a commitment to move more organic. And I believe they did. And they did a ton of, like, I don't want to make this again. Like, they did like an amazing reaction. They did like a bunch of good stuff. I don't think they're like, you know, perfect by any means, but like they upped their standards, you know? And like, I think Kellogg's has bought a bunch of organic brands and, you know, General Mills is raised their bar for sure. Right. So like, that's how things change, is the consumers demanding things and retailers taking a stance and, you know, and you putting that scorecard up there and Cornucopia, like doing the work that they do and us as consumers paying attention, right? Like, and it's hard. It's hard work, but yeah, it means a lot. I think school, that's cool you did that, Chris. I forgot you did that. And that co-op's the bomb, dude. I love all those Minneapolis co-ops. They're just like, I wish we had, you know, yeah. I mean, Maine's got some great ones. Don't get me wrong. They're amazing, but you got so many there. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people forget that Minnesota really is, it's been called like, you know, just like the Mecca of co-ops, because, you know, I think Minnesota has the most food co-ops out of any state. You know, I think a lot of other states have lots of natural food stores and independents, but yeah, Minnesota has a lot on the co-op side, which co-ops are still independently owned by the community, right? So still falls in the independent.
Yeah. I'll just mention really quick. I remember when I was calling on the Minneapolis independents and the co-ops, I could hit 22 stores in 2.5 days. I could fly in that day and then hit stores and then the next day hit. So I was hitting like on average, like 8 to 10 a day. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's why. I'm sure that's why the brands love coming into the area.
Oh yeah, so good. Yeah, totally. And they're just great. Minnesota, nice. My wife's from Minnesota, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Speaking of nice. No, I love that you told that story about John. Cause yeah, the first time I met John Wood, he was just such an amazing, nice, kind, caring person. So willing to help out the natural food community, you know, as he, you know, on the board of Infra. So he helps a lot of Infra members and provide a lot of guidance. We've had him on the show to talk about marketing. And he's talked about his, you know, how he markets and does some stuff in his business. But I think what you mentioned is something that I onboard all new Infra members along with my colleague, Caleb. So Caleb and I work to onboard all new Infra members. And we talk about in the Infra cooperative, we're all independent. We have the things that we do that keep us independent. But when we work together, that's where we can leverage change. And that's where we can like influence, you know, product standards. That's where we can influence all of the other people to take that additional step with their products and things like that. So I love that story because it's one thing to say it to a new member of like this collective, this cooperative, this association, this is what we can do when we work together. And, you know, and it's not just, you know, John started that, you were a part of it. And then it was the collective, right? It was the group of us as independents that jumped onto that to help make that change, to make, you know, a multinational corporation make a big change to improve the thing that you said earlier, right? Of getting all that muck out of our environment, right? And I think that's huge for how we can make so much change with us standing up to some of that. So I absolutely love that story.
It's one of my favorite stories of my life as a business owner and seeing like how, you know, a couple people and a couple courageous, you know, well, really John and Allie, you know, they're the ones that were the most courageous, but like, you know, look, that's the power of Infra. I mean, that's why we've been supporters of it since the beginning and, you know, and look, the IGAs of the world, all these types of groups are struggling more and more because of the, you know, the Amazons of the world. And I'm not going to say I don't sell on Amazon where you have to be on Amazon. Everybody's on Amazon, right? But like that's a huge company. You know, these other big brands we're talking about too are huge companies, but like us little guys, we got to stick together. And I just think what you guys have done is great. And that you've got leaders like John on there and yourself, Chris, with all your experience. And it's awesome. Really cool. I think you guys have done a great job.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Well, I got to throw it back to you because, you know, we touched on this earlier. The thing that I really love about Grandy is your guys' personal touch. And if people haven't been able to hear the thread of that through this conversation yet, they will once they start interacting with you if they don't carry the product. But I love that you're always out visiting the stores. Rich is showing up in the bulk aisles and, you know, passing out swag, making sure we all got the Coca-Cola shirts, the Grandy hats, the things like that. And Rich is always good for, you know, telling a good story, right? And talking about things. So I just want to hear from you finally, just to kind of like finish off this episode. Why is that relationship-driven approach been so foundational to your success?
Oh, you know, we talked a lot today about the food and we talked about ethics and we talked about, you know, quality and standards. But at the end of the day, it's about people. And I obviously talked about some really awesome people here, you know, from people that I got to work with and, you know, and other and retailers and things like that. But, you know, it's, if you're not, I think that was the thing that with COVID, this sucks so bad for me personally, but like, you know, if you're not in the stores, like, how do you know what's going on? Also, like, how do you know? I mean, so many of our products were created by stores input. Like, I remember the antioxidant trail mix. Somebody said, hey, I've got this trail mix. It's antioxidant, but it's not organic. Can you do one organic? I'm like, sure, we can do that. You know, I mean, like, that's how those things happen, right? And so you got to be out there. I should also mention Kaylin English. Some of the folks on the West Coast will know her. She lives in Denver. She manages our business, Denver West. We talked a lot about Rich. And Kaylin's been in the industry for a long time, and she's just awesome to work with too. And you know, one of the funny things, and I you guys can, you know, tell Rich this if you hear this episode, but Rich has this saying, and when anybody asks for a free fill, he's like, "Hey, we got free high fives," and it's really a great way to disarm people because they expect, you know, all these big brands get free fills, and we're like, "Hey, we got free high fives." Of course, he usually gives him a little bit of a discount, but in bulk, you can't give him a free fill, you know? And so I was like, hey, I'm going to free five. High five. So years ago, he and Zoe were at this festival down in Hampton Beach. And next to them was like one of those paint, you know, like they paint a sign, you know, you could say like the Sorensen Lodge, you know, like somebody might have it on their, like their cabin or their camp. Right. And so he had them paint one that said free high fives, and he brought it back to Nat. So for years, we used to like hang that up in our office, which we thought was pretty funny, but we just try to have fun. I think that's the other thing I'll just say, like, you know, and I don't want to go too long here, but like, even with something as serious like that, because it's money, right? Like, and the store needs, like, you know, they're trying to figure out, I'm going to try a product. I want to see if it's going to sell. Can you help me out? And we as a business are trying to make our margin and all that. But like, have some fun, you know, have some gravity, do some stuff, some cool stuff with hats. You know, if you're in town, go out for a beer with a buyer, like get to know these people. They're people. We want to be authentic. We know you guys are people that are just trying to do the best job too. And we just have new products we want you to try. And so like, let's just go in there and just, you know, have them. Last thing I'll just say on this is one of my favorite things about Rich is he'll go in there and he's one of the softest salespersons you ever know, but he is going to get you to try the product. And he's always said that. He's like, you got to try it, man. And he'll usually open the bag and pour it into your hand, whether you're ready or not. And I just think that's just so awesome. Anyway, it's one of my favorite things about Rich. So, and usually people are like, oh, that's good. You know?
Cool. Well, I appreciate that. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for sharing your story and your passion with us. I think what makes Grandy Organics so special isn't just what you make. It's really, like you said, how you show up, you know, from the bulk aisle introductions that you guys have in the store, Rich doing the store visits and passing out the swag, and you being yourself in the stores. It's the relationships, like you said. So there's a thread of real personal connection, I think, that runs through it all. And I love it so much. So thanks for being on the show today and telling your story.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. If you don't mind, I just want to take one more minute and just say one thing, which is we would not be where we're at as a business growing as much as we have with all these, you know, fantastic team members if it wasn't for, you know, the independents out there. The first store that Theron Penny sold to was in Farmington, Maine, Better Living Center. I think they're an Infomenter member. If they're not, Better Living Center, you should join. You know, it's about the independents for us. I would also say to the Infomembers, is a little bit of a plea for you guys. You know, we don't have the biggest ACV with you guys, and we yet are still doing the promo fees, which are, you know, do cost us. And the more ACV we can get, meaning the more stores we're in, the more products we have on your shelves, the more it makes sense for us to do more of these spends to support Infra and do all the great work that Chris does. So I hate to be that plea, but let's stick together. Let's keep doing what we're doing. I really appreciate all you, and I thank you seriously for all the support over the years. So I hope that helps.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron. Well, take care, and we'll see you around, and hopefully in a store or at a show.
See you soon, Chris. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Tim McCollum, founder and CEO of Beyond Good. Whether you're a retailer or a brand or just a voter, maintaining independence is important for many reasons. With independence, we have innovation and change. Without it, we have groupthink and conformity. Without independence, Beyond Good would look like any other chocolate company. We'd have a lot of farmer poverty and deforestation in our supply chain, and our chocolate would be average. Our independence gave us the freedom to build a supply chain that doesn't look like any other supply chain in the chocolate industry. Farmers earn 5 times more income, there's 0 child labor, and the chocolate fundamentally tastes different and better. Changing things requires independence. Changing things demands independence. Independence doesn't simply matter. Independence may be the only thing that does matter. If you'd like to learn more about the chocolate industry and Beyond Good, you can visit us at beyondgood.com.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible Infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, outreach manager.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.